life he gave me hope down in my soul. And he spoke to me when no one else could ever understand. I love the Lord for what he's done. Yes, I love the Lord for what he's done for me. In my life he gave me hope down in my soul.
I love the Lord today. Love him for what he's done and his promises that he's made. And I want to make it a little bit stronger than what it is today. I want to love him more because of him, because of his life. I listened to the good words. We went to a meeting yesterday in Russellville, and to realize that, you know, people that are striving for the same thing we're striving for, same hope, that reading the same Bible that we read, serving the same God, we have to consider people, you know, and consider what they're doing in their lives, and appreciate Brother Smith giving us some thoughts about, you know, God, you know, have people on different levels. He mentioned yesterday that from you get into a congregation of people, you may have somebody from on the level of a kindergartner, and somebody else might be on a college level. So how do you deal with people that are on all these different levels? And you have to keep in mind, you know, that that God knows, you know, about us, and we're not serving somebody that don't know what we're going through. He knows. He knows. He's been there. You know, he was tempted, the Bible said, in all points, as we have been, and yet without sin. And that's he knows the levels. Well, I don't know if he ever actually been on a level of where he was a kindergartner. You know, he might have been a young person, but I think he probably had a lot of knowledge even at a young age. But still, God knows our situation, and I appreciate that. You know, I sometimes, you know, you're serving God and you like to be further along down the road, but, you know, it may be that you, of course, you know God knows best. And sometimes you like to be further along, or might think you ought to be further along, but we might just be where God wants us to be. And I want to lift him up for that and be able to appreciate him no matter where he's allowed me to be. And I appreciate the things of God, and I'm beginning to love God's laws and his commands. You know, he told the children of Israel, you know, that some promises he made to them, that if they would obey his commandments, his statutes, even when they was in the wilderness going to the promised land, he made promises to them and told them that, you know, that he would fight for them. They didn't have to fight. He would send hornets out before them and run the enemies off without them even having to do anything, hardly. You know, just trust him. You know, I mean, I look at that and I think, you know, and I know they got weary. They murmured some down along the way and complained. And I probably do the same thing. That's why I say I look at them and I think, well, why didn't they just realize how much God has already done for them? You know, I would do the same thing. So I want to, in the time where I am, you know, this present situation we're in, I want to be able to do the, you know, at least trust God. And hear what he's saying, and not get in the mully grubs or whatever. You know, that you can do that, and I don't. That's why I try to guard. You know, you can. The Bible tells us to keep our heart. I believe it might even say guard our hearts. You know, and we have to do that, because if we don't, then we can get into the mully grub. We can get into a complaining situation to where we don't realize not thankful for what God has already done for us. Like the song was saying, you know, we thank him and love him for what he's already done. You know, if he doesn't do any more, I can love him for what he's already done. So anyway, it's good to be in the house of God today and to be out here and begin to lift him up. I appreciate these good praises of lifting up God and talking about what his goodness. I, you know, like I said, yesterday we heard, listened to Brother Sutmiller and also Brother Smith talking about the things. Of course, Brother Sutmiller covered quite a bit in Isaiah, things that we're going through in the 57th chapter and 58th chapter of Isaiah, and to help us to go on, you know, serve God. You know, that's what this is all about, is to be able to have the right attitude in serving God. And I appreciate Brother Smith giving us some more on Hebrews and helping us to see what God is trying to, you know, what Paul was trying, or whoever wrote it, he's the book of Hebrews showing the Jewish people, you know, that, you know, that let's not get discouraged. Let's keep going on. This is why he came. This is why Jesus came, and why his life was given for us. You know, I've listened to people like Brother Durham was talking about being among other religious people, and listening to their testimony and their thoughts about religion, about God, some of them think that, you know, Jesus did it all. You know, we don't have to do anymore. You know, he died for our sins, so we don't have to go through what he went through. You know, I mean, that's, you hear that, and all of that has to be qualified. You know, as far as he did die for us, he did give his life for us. You know, he made it possible that we could do the same. That's what he did. He made the way. He opened the door where we can come in. That's what I'm saying. He was the first overcomer, you know, and made it possible. He made it possible that we can do this. We can do this. And we, with God's help, you know, with God's, his spirit, his word that we get to hear, we get to participate, and his spirit begin to let God touch our lives and help us in a way that that nothing else can help us. You know, God has ways of doing things for us that out here you can't find the help. You know, you can go to places and get in a situation where they just tell you, we've done all we can do for you. But we can come to God with all our problems. We can take our cares to him, you know, because he cares. And he can help us. Not just he cares, but he can help us. So that's what I'm finding. I'm finding help in his sanctuary. You know, we've come into the sanctuary of God, and we can find help for our situation and for our soul. And he can help us. So anyway, it's good for us to be gathered here. We, you know, like I said, we're on different levels. We have different situations. We have different, sometimes our ideas may be different. But, you know, God can help us with that too. You know, he can hone in our ideas and help us to try to think like Jesus. You know, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we have to hone in some of these things and begin to think about the Lord and bring our thoughts to him and let him help us. You know, help us with, who was that yesterday? But I guess Brother Smith was talking about, you know, things that we do, it start out as a thought, you know. So we have to, you know, let God help us with our thoughts and help us to start thinking that, you know, think this way, that you can make it. First of all, you know, God has helped us. And we can go. We can do this. We can help us. He can help us, and we can make it. And we can live for Jesus. We can give our lives to Him. So anyway, let's remember our needs. Think about we got visitors. See, Brother and Sister Crowe's here. Good to have them here today. Made it out, and I know Sister Holly and Anna, and then Sister Brenda. She was here Wednesday night. But anyway, good to have them. And let's see, did I miss anybody? Anyway, it's good. And I see Brother John's here without Sister Rochelle. Isn't that something? That speaks volumes, Brother John. I tell you, that's good. And God is helping us. Let's see, anybody else? I know Sister Julie, could you give us an update on your dad? They're giving her a mic, so but you speaking a mic, so Julie.
My mom just texted me and said he's at the point to where he doesn't know
anything.
So.
Okay. Let's pray for Brother Paul. Paul Wilson. Remember him? Sister Debbie. Steve. Remember Brother Steve Wallace. Sister Jamie. Pardon me? And Sister Dan. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Sister Jane. Sister Rita? Okay. Okay. Remember, pray for. Remember, Sister Holly, remember her and pray for the problem. Sister Linda. Okay. All right. Remember, pray for Sister Abraham. She's kind of, recovering, but anyway, remember her. All right. Anybody else? Ann Thompson. Okay, I'm sorry. Your dad, okay. 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 All right. Remember, Sister Ann's dad. I know that could be a problem, you know, with medicine. Yes. Sister Donna still need our prayers. Remember Sister Donna, Brother Keith? Your children, okay. Brother Keith's children, Natalie and DJ. Remember them. And all right, anybody else? Brother Johnson and Beth, his wife. Remember them. Sister Sydney. Okay, Nathan. All right. John Cornelius. Yes, I did know. Yeah, thank you, sisters. Remember the family. Pray for them. Who's that? You got to speak up, your own. Talk. Renata. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, remember him. Sister Sister Watson. Remember Sister Inez. She was at the meeting yesterday. That's good. She's out. Yes. Okay. Pray for Bridget today. Congestion. See, you can just tell, you know, just from these requests. Like we was talking about different things, you know, everybody's have things they're going through. Just, you know, let your heart go out to God, to his people, and try to remember. I think of people being faithful people of God, and people that are, you know, we're God's people. That's where I look at it, and we're praying to God. So let's remember these needs, and yes, sir, brother. And y'all hear Brother Boyd talking about the young folks? They're having a... Yes. I don't know if everybody could hear that. Yeah. Remember the youth. They're having a good meeting. That's the main thing, right? Good spirit. He said, move with the spirit. Yes. All right. Susan Weaver. All right, so let's stand and take these requests to the Lord and ask that God help his people. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Lord, you allow us to be here. We ask that you help us. Lord, touch us. Lord, help us. Oh, blessed be you. My brother, Paul, oh, God, touch him on this day. Lord, touch him. Each request, oh God, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Amen.
my own. All right. We got somebody's inhaler here that was found out on the parking lot last week. It's still up here. If somebody knows who it is. It's not Brother Joe's, he said. So it's up here if you need it. Then one of you guitar pickers, here's a blue and red colored pick, a Fender Heavy. That belonged to who? Oh, it is. Are you playing the guitar? Oh, you got a toy one. Okay, well, that's a real live pick. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I was telling them in Bible study I did get my foot x-rayed and I did break it 2 different times and broke it the second time in 2 places. But I'm glad to tell you that it's healing because I know it is because it's feeling better. But the doctor said that I'd have to keep wearing a support and try to stay off of it as much as I can and not. He wants me to wear a boot all the time, but I can't do that. I could if I just had to, but I asked him what'd happen if I didn't, and he said, well, it'll probably take a little longer to heal. I said, well, I'm enjoying getting around. I'm not wanting to, I'll just put up with it another week or two if I have to, but I don't like being restricted. But you remember, I think it was last Sunday, I'm not sure. Was that when my jaw was swollen up, that abscess tooth? It was Sunday before? All right. Thank goodness, because it seemed like longer than a week ago. I hate for a week to get by me that long. But I was telling the people yesterday, I said, you know, that scripture in Proverbs 25 came to me. I had an abscess tooth and a broken foot at the same time. And there is a scripture that says confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And I did, I couldn't help but think about that scripture, and I couldn't help but ask God if I was being unfaithful. You got to check yourself before you can pitch this off on anybody else. And I know times of trouble is coming in the future. We're going to go through some tribulation and trials, and I want to be faithful to God in all of that. I am, though, I'm also considering, I've got a man in the Dominican Republic that I've put a lot of confidence in the last 12 or 14 years, and he's working a lot of iniquity right now and causing me quite a bit of trouble. And I'm considering the practical lesson God's trying to show me. I think I've maybe been too patient and been too lenient on this man and let him have too much influence, and he's hurting the work some. He's working quite a bit of iniquity, and I don't think he has enough strength to hurt it very deeply, but still, if you lose one good person over a devil or a wolf spirit, we are supposed to be shepherds of the flock and make sure that nothing interferes. And I think God sometimes can give us a pretty strong lesson to let us know, you need to do your job. So I'm considering both sides of this. I don't just, I told you, Brother Linegar, I appreciate our forefathers that went ahead of us. One time, Brother Linegar and I was on an airplane going to Haiti, and he had this left hand here, and it always had, it broke out on him, and skin would peel on it. And he said, I can't never get that to heal. And we were sitting in the plane, and he was scratching that, and he said, Brother Smith, he said, God has showed me that, God has a left hand and a right hand ministry. He said, your left hand is more awkward. That's the awkward part of the ministry that's not as easy to, it's not as flowing with you, that doesn't work as easy with you. He said, there's ministers. If a man's successful, he'll have men of God that are just a little left-handed. They're not as compatible with you as everything else, but God's got them there for a reason. They can do a job that nobody else can do. And he said, I know that I have trouble working with those men like I ought to. They're having trouble with me. He said, I think God's given me this lesson. He's kept this hand where it wouldn't heal. He said, when I get this right, it'll heal up. Well, you can't help but appreciate a man like that that is trying to find God in everything that he's going through in life. Everything works for the good to them that love the Lord, that are the called according to his purpose. It'll work out. It'll work something in you. Everything you're going through, even if God didn't bring it about. You know, chance happens to every man, so some things come by chance. Death, there's different reasons in the Bible why people die. Sometimes people do die under judgment, God's judgment. God will take their life. I can show you several places in the Bible where God killed people because he judged them. But then there's others that the Lord takes because they're his friend. Enoch walked with God was not because God took him. God took him because he was pleased with him. Pleasant in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God, sometimes he'll take you off the scene. It's not easy for us to let our loved ones go, but sometimes God takes people. We had that scripture yesterday in Isaiah. Let me just give it to you. I wasn't thinking of it when I got up here, but I wasn't thinking of a whole lot when I got up here. I just thought I needed to get up. Let me give you this scripture, though. In the 57th chapter of Isaiah, in the first verse, the righteous perisheth, and no man lays it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, not considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. God took some people away from the evil to come. He took Stephen out early. He didn't have to go through near the tribulation. He reached a high place early, and God took him. James, one of the first apostles that was martyred, God took him out of the way, took him early. He didn't go through near the trials. He was imprisoned and killed, but he didn't go through many imprisonments, many beatings like the Apostle Paul did. But others were taken from evil to come. So God sometimes is in his mercy takes people. Sometimes he takes people ripe. Sister Julie, sometimes God will take one of our loved ones. He'll get them in the best condition he can get them in, and he'll take them where he can give them the best resurrection they can have. That's not easy sometimes, but I still believe what Sister Julie said. The doctors or anybody else don't have the final say on this. God does. Some people die by chance. God knows it. A sparrow don't fall to the ground but what God don't permit it, but he may let chance take you, just an accident. He just may not step in the way. I'd like to get important enough to God that he'd get in the way. That the Lord would keep me on the scene as long as he can and as long as it's beneficial and as long as I can love life and righteousness, I'd like to stay here. I love life. I like it. But I don't have the final say over it. So, the Lord, he could take you by chance. He could take you in righteousness. He could take you in judgment. Sickness can take you, and the Lord just allow it. So there's many different positions that the Lord takes on things. But anyway, I feel blessed today that I'm among the living, not just the living beastly spirits in this world. You know, if you're the book of Ecclesiastes said, if God don't show you this, you won't ever catch it. But what God shows you is that, what the Lord needs to show you is you're just like an animal. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? That's what it says. Read it in Ecclesiastes 3. Put it up there for us. Maybe everybody has read it, but maybe they just need to look at it another time. Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse, start there. While y'all are looking that up, Brother, I don't know if Brother Tally mentioned Sister Ashley or not. But there she sits back there, Brother McGowan's sweet little granddaughter. And she's been coming quite a bit lately. I'm so glad for that, aren't y'all? I am, I'm telling you. I'd hate for Brother and Sister Tally Brother and Sister McGowan to work and labor in this church all these years and not have God use them in a way that it would influence some of their offspring that would carry this torch on. And God may be getting you ready, Sister Ashley, to be a torch carrier for the Lord, to carry this light. She cooked in the kitchen. It's all right. Now, if we can get some of her money, if you get people working and you can get them to invest in this, they'll keep coming because they think, look, I got money tied up in this. So, did you give anything in the offering today? No, she would shook her head yes. Well, you be sure to start bringing a quarter or something. Bring it something and drop it in the pan. Get invested in this. You too, Anna. You did? All right, see, we're getting her hooked in on this deal. I'm sure glad her mama's here too. And her grandma. We still count Sister Hutchison. You know, we haven't counted you out yet. We're not trying to make you come back if the Lord's got you where He wants you, but we still count you part of the family here. And we always enjoy it when you're here. And I thank Sister Hutchison's, I thank God's tenderizing. I can tell a difference in her spirit in the last few years. Not that she had such a terrible spirit, but it's just so much terribly better. So I just love her. I love all of God's people. And appreciate everyone that's here. But here he said in the 16th verse, moreover, I saw. Have you got it to put it up there? There you go. Under the sun, the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in mine heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there's a time there for every purpose and for every work. And I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Anna, did you know you're a beast? That's what the scripture says. God wants you to see that you're a beast. That means like you got a tiger all shut up inside of you, or a lion or a bear. When I married Sister Smith, Buck Owens was singing a song, I've got a tiger by the tail, don't you see? I sung that a few times. She was a tiger now. She was high strung. But I was too, we had a time at first. It's a wonder we made it. And she was something else. A real piece of work. But I was too. And I probably brought it out of her more than I should have. Well, I had a whole zoo of ties locked up inside of me. I'd rise up like a roaring lion at times. I knew how to be a little, a little teddy bear, or like a little gentle dove. I knew how to do that. I could do it from time to time, but I could turn into a mad dog pretty quick. And, the spirits get loose in us. The Bible uses this language, beasts. That's why there's a beast system rising up out here. It's carnality. It's man's spirit. It's not the Spirit of God that's working in the, even in religion. It's going to create a beastly religious spirit. It's not the Spirit of Christ. But he said that. Verse 19 says, that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beast. Even one thing befalleth them. As one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man has no preeminence over a beast for all his humanity, all go into one place, and all of the dust, and all turn to dust again. There's a lie out here in religion. It was told in the very beginning. The serpent told it to Eve. He said, thou shalt not surely die. Man has always believed that they're immortal, that they can live forever. That's a lie. The only way you're going to live forever is get God's favor and get the gift of eternal life. And so we're trying to overcome this beastly nature, this beastly spirit. And God's working on us. God's helping us. The church in the restoration period that we're in, this is interesting. What God's doing among us is interesting. Many of you have been here for a long time. We went through different things. We've been through different exercises. God's worked on us in different ways. Bless you saints is what I got to say, because the ministry is, we've kind of been like John the Baptist and Jesus to a certain extent. Jesus said, John he didn't eat or drink, and they called him a gluttonous man. Is that what they, huh? No, that's not what I'm wanting. No, he said about John first. They called him a gluttonous man. They called him a wine, no. Somebody get that scripture for me there. It's in Matthew. Jesus was a wine bibber. John was the gluttonous man. Is that how it is? John came eating and drinking. Well, get the scripture and let's read it, because ain't none of us quoting it right, I don't think. Did we find it? But I want to make a point with that scripture. If we can find it right quick. Okay, John 11 and 19. Say it where to go on the tape. The Son of Man, John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he had a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. There it is. And a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. If you back up to the 16th verse, it said, whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we've piped unto you and you've not danced. We've mourned unto you and you've not lamented. Then he makes his point about him and John. In other words, John He met you on one end of the scale, and I met you on another end. We gave you the whole swing of the pendulum. We tried to reach you on in both ways, and you didn't pipe or you didn't dance when we piped. And therefore, he said, wisdom's justified of her children. In other words, if the Jews wouldn't respond to what God did with John or Jesus, then wisdom, the church, was justified in going outside of the Jews and reaching whoever they could. But the point I wanted to bring out is this ministry is, we've tried a lot of things, trying to find God, what pleases God, and what He wants in this restoration of the church. We've tried a lot of different things. We've worked on, if you go way back in this body, you'll find where we tried to find God in many different ways. There was a time, did you know there's some preachers in this body taught against drinking coffee a long time, years ago? You drinking coffee, you're the devil. Some of you coffee drinkers would leave if we started preaching on that today. But we don't believe that anymore. But also, somebody sent me a text just a week or two ago. They was in a meeting. Evidently, they said something about women wearing sandals. What I thought about women wearing sandals. Well, there was a time that this body taught that no woman ought to wear an open-toed shoe. Or they also taught women had to wear black hose at one time in this body. You couldn't let nobody see your legs. Had to be thick hose. Cover you up, cover your legs up. Let me tell you something. If any one of you men have got trouble, if you get to lusting after a woman's toe, you got a pretty big problem. I mean, I know there's people with feet fetishes, but whoever's got one has got a problem. This can be carried too far, but we've tried to find God. And I don't fault the ministry with that so much. Brother Tucker, he saw a benefit in worshiping God in a dance, in so much that he tried to force people to dance. In fact, you'd get in trouble in this church if you wouldn't dance. Well, I don't really find too much fault in him because he's trying to find God. But there were people that just couldn't handle that hardly. You know, I mean, they just didn't feel like, you know, they was really worshiping God if they was dancing because some man made them dance. People had trouble with some of that, but you got to look on the ministry side too and see that they was striving to locate what pleases God. And they found something that, you know, to loosen up people's spirit and their pride, break it down, did something for people's spirits. But we found later that there's a balance to all this. We had to locate the balance. So the precious saints of God, some of y'all have been through a lot of things. There's been people stayed under my ministry. They'll tell you he's sweeter today than he used to be. He's got rid of some of that lion and bear and tiger spirit that was down inside of him. And some of that roaring that he used to do, he don't roar as loud anymore. In fact, they'll tell you my bark is worse than my bite now. But my bite used to be worse than my bark, or just as bad. If I got to barking, I'd bite you. I'd attack you if you wasn't careful. Well, I'm sorry for that today, but I'm thankful for the people that stayed with me until I learned it. They got changed on it when I had some of them convinced I was right. But thank the Lord. The Lord's helped me to find a greater balance, and we're still working on this. The women's, you know, we've worked on women more than we have the men because God did make you women prettier than us guys, you know, and we've had to I'm just going to tell you, I've studied women a little bit. I still don't understand you. I'll have to admit that. You know, I'm like that. Y'all have heard me tell that joke, but I'm going to tell it again just in case you hadn't heard it. You know, where I tell that joke this way, the Lord asked me one day, said, "Son, what do you want me to do for you? Just ask me and I'll do it." And that's when he called me to go to the Dominican Republic, and I said, "Build me a bridge from Miami all the way to the Dominican Republic so I can drive back and forth over there." And the Lord told me, he said, "I can do that." He said, I can easily build a bridge. That's no problem for me." But he said, "Do you really want me to do that? Do you understand how much concrete and steel that's really going to take? And how long it's going to take you to make that drive when you can just get on a plane and be there from Miami in 2 hours and 15 minutes? You really want me to do that? There's not anything else you would rather me do for you." I said, "There is something I'd rather have." He said, "What is it?" I said, "I want to understand women." And God said, "Do you want that to be a 2-lane or 4-lane bridge?" If you didn't catch it, it'd be easier for him to build that bridge, even 4-lane, than it would to explain a woman. That's just a joke. I'll tell you another one so it'll help you women, so you won't feel like, you know, I'm picking on you. Adam, is that worse? I don't think it is. Let me explain it. If you ain't got it yet, evidently, maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Let's see if I can get it right now. I want to get the punchline. He messed me up. Said, let's see. How does it start? Does anybody know even what joke I'm fixing to tell? Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out which one to ask first. I know what the punchline is. Yeah, that's the punchline. Maybe I ain't supposed to tell this joke. Yeah, that's the punchline right there. Yeah, I think that both questions, when he asked, "Why did you make women?" Adam asked God, said, "Why did you make women so beautiful?" He said, "Well, son, I made them like that so you'd love them, so you'd appreciate them." He said, "Well, why did you make them so dumb?" He said, "I made them like that so they'd love you." So, to me, the punchline of that is that, you know, there ain't no woman to love a man if I didn't hold her back just a little bit, let her get everything figured out. But anyway, it's all a joke. But anyway, we have ministries worked on, you know, even dress standards, especially for women, because everything y'all have seen, the way the world's went, it's become everything sexually oriented. Every commercial has to have a pretty woman. It has to be something that works on the lust of the flesh. And so they can't sell a bag of popcorn without some woman about half dressed, you know, some way advertising it. And so we've worked in here to get our women to be moderate in their dress and covering themselves up and keeping themselves, you know, you don't want, you know, here's what I've done. I've studied this about you girls. I figured this out, that when y'all are little, see, look at these little girls back there by Sister Durham. Elizabeth, you and Isabel stand up. Look at these little. Now let me show you. Them two little girls already know something. They already know how to crawl up in their grandpa's lap and run their fingers through what hair he's got left and get just about anything they want him to do. They know how to do it. Now, a little boy just can't force himself to go that far. It just don't feel right. But these little girls, they learn that young. They learn there's something about men that is appealed to the girly part. And they know how to hold their head a certain way and look at you. I seen on Facebook the other day where my granddaughter-in-law put on there that her new little four-month-old daughter knows already how to pooch her lip out and get whatever she wants. And girls, as they grow up, they know how to get on daddy's side. If they can't get on mama's side, they'll go sit in daddy's lap and love on him and give him a little kiss on the cheek and get to talking sweet nothings in his ear, and before long they got him doing whatever mama said they couldn't do. They learn that. And then as they get growing up and become more a woman and start getting their little figure, they learn how to use that to get a man's. They start noticing men's paying attention to me. And they use that to their benefit. I don't know how y'all even get saved. Sometimes I think, how do they get overcome that power that they got? You know, they've got a power that pulls on them all the time that they got to overcome. And I mean, to not give up within the corruptness of this world we're living in, it's got to be hard for a woman to overcome that. To push that aside, because the whole world's pushing them towards that. I'm serious. And that's a big challenge for women today. And so this body has, we've tried to help our women to live a holy life, a sanctified life, and not give over to lewdness and get beyond the moderate part of living for God. Now, men, I was a young man one time. I walked around with my chest pooched out, and I followed some of the fads. I can't get into today's new look, you know, where you just mess your hair up and walk out the door, look like you just got out of bed. That's the new look for men. I come up in an era where you got every little hair in place. I can't stand it. I look in the mirror and I see a hair out of place. I start licking it and trying to pat it down. But everybody else got theirs sticking right up, you know. I can't take that. See, ain't none of these old men can take it either. But some of the young ones, they still, you know, they're still influenced by that. It'll come around again for long. It'll change back. But so fads, and we try to help the men in all that. You know, don't try to make yourself appealing and handsome to all the girls when you're married. Now, I still don't think, I believe what Brother James Souter said one time. He was like in his 75 years old when he worked on us out in Chino, California. He was talking to us about women's hair. Because, you know, way back there and I'll show you the scripture in a minute, where women were not to cut their hair, period, for no reason. Just let it grow. And their hair, some of the women's hair got all the way down to their ankles. And they couldn't do much with it. I mean, the only thing you could do is just roll it up on top of your head some way to get it out of your way. The ministry put that on women. And there's a reason for it. There's scriptures, but we carried it too far. And Brother James Souders one time, he was working on it. He said his standard was that a woman's hair, if it could be made into a veil, he's using that scripture in 1 Corinthians 11, that if a woman could comb her hair down all over her head and it would come down to her shoulders and cover her whole head up, she'd be covered. He said, that's long enough, boys. He said, now I know some of you guys, y'all want to dress some of these women up in a toe sack. He said, let me tell you something. You can put on their head what you want to put on their head. You can put them a tent dress on them if you want to, but I can tell you, even at my age, I can tell you the difference between a man and a woman. I can see the difference, he said. He worked on us. Well, we never did go far as he wanted to go to take the standard to shoulder length, but he did help us to start thinking some. You know, hear this scripture. Let me give you this scripture because I want you to know this ministry is not a crazy ministry. 1 Corinthians 11, this ministry is tried to obey God. That's, you know, and we're trying to find a way to fulfill these scriptures where God would be pleased with us. We'd have his favor. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, be ye followers of me, even I, as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I've delivered unto them. See, he gave them ordinances in the body of Christ, rules that they ought to follow, that would keep their flesh under, keep them holy. He said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And so that's what he's working on here, is the order of God, that Christ is under God the Father, man is under Christ, or the ministry is under Christ, and then he's working on women being under the man. The church is the woman, but you can use this in a natural sense too, that every man ought to be the head of his home. Every man is the priest of his home, and every man has to answer to God for how he runs his home. God's going to hold him accountable. You know, women can get out of order running things in their home, and God's not pleased with that. There's an order of God that we all have to learn. Women have to learn how to trust God. Sometimes you don't trust God if you don't believe that God can cause your husband to do what's right. See, there's the difference. When a woman don't understand that God can change a man and cause him to do what's right, if you're putting your confidence enough in God and trusting the Lord to do that for you, to protect you. Some women don't trust God. And the same way with some saints. Some saints can't submit themselves to a pastor because they don't think God can correct a man. They don't think God is able to he can set up kings and take them down, but he can't put a pastor out of a pulpit. Let me tell you something. There are enough saints believe God's strong enough, God can make sure and protect them from a ministry that's wrong. It may take a while. You may suffer. You may go through some things, but when God gets ready to judge it, he'll judge it. And so that's what he's working here. So then in verse 4 he said, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that even is all one as if she were shaven. And what he's really saying here is that if a woman's not under authority, God made women to submit to man's authority, not to be stepped on, not to be treated like a rug or, you know, like their property or anything like that, but God made woman as a helpmate to men and gave them the feminine side to be a help to him and to work together with him to serve God and do God's will. Now, if you're married to an ungodly man, you may not be able, there's some scriptures that helps a woman that if she's trying to serve God and her husband's not living right, that will help protect her and gives her some rights. But if she's got a godly man that's trying to live for God, she needs to learn how to trust God and submit to that man. And women that can't trust God has that problem. And that's what he's working on here, to pray or to try to serve God without having a covering, without having any authority over you. The same way with the church. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. The church is the woman, and the ministry is taking the husbandman's side. And God wants to submit to them that are over you in the Lord, the Bible tells us. But at the same time, it tells them, don't you lord over God's heritage. Don't you mistreat my people. So God, you can get in trouble with God if you mistreat God's people. And here again, I'll mention to you that the ministry hadn't always done everything right. But I don't think most men are trying to do God's people wrong. I think they think they're doing right. It takes God to correct us and get us in the proper balance. And that's what I'm saying. The body of Christ has been through a lot because they've sat through and listened to preaching, and at the time it sounded good. He goes on here. He uses hair. Look how he does it. Verse 6 says, for a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman's the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman's of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, or authority, because of the angels, or because of the ministry, the messengers. Nevertheless, neither is a man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things are of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a shame unto him? See, that there's something. How many of y'all remember? Now, a lot of you young ones don't remember this, but I remember when the Beatles came from England over to America, and they was the biggest thing that ever hit America. And they had their hair went right down over their ears. You know, they had that John haircut? John, what was it? The Beatle haircut? They cut it right across here, went down over their ears, and came down to their collar. You know, they had bangs right down to their eyebrows nearly. And, man, even the ungodly American world was against them. Because that was them long hair. I mean, we had the hippie movement before them. And the beatniks. We had beatniks first, and then the hippies. But see, this country was raised up in revival, and God touching this country in a great way. And, of course, from the turn of the century, Pentecost. Early beginning of the 1900s, Pentecost came into this country and brought great revival to this country, and great teachings of holiness and sanctification was put out in this country. And so they had the devil on the run. The devil was held down at bay. I didn't live here in Arkansas, but I lived in Oklahoma. But if I was guessing, I'd say y'all had the same thing we had in Oklahoma. I mean, there were many, many counties that were dry counties. You couldn't buy whiskey in a county, any county in Oklahoma that I was ever in. That was against the law to sell whiskey in them, or any kind of alcoholic. But was it that way here? Yeah, Jacksonville still is. I think what's that town north of East End, Michael? What's the name of that town? Sheridan. No, it's not Sheridan. What's south of East End? Sheridan. Aren't they dry? They're still dry. I think East End's dry. Faulkner County. They just bowed it wet. Well, I mean, we're losing. I mean, we lost this country. But I'm just showing you back then, righteousness was holding down evil in this world. And preachers were preaching against sin. People was living clean lives. And, of course, this body, we were the very heart of what was going on in Pentecost. And so this body was trying to hold on to holiness, sanctification, separated life, staying away from the world, not letting the lust of the flesh just run rampant in your life. And they found scriptures like this, where nature showed you, you know, that it's a shame for a man to have long hair and it's a shame for a woman to have short hair. The question, I guess, would have to be, how it's always been, how short? But let me just tell you this, it's obvious. I had a woman, she came and picked up a puppy that they bought off us the other day. And her husband's bald-headed, and he had more hair than she did. Her hair was about that long all over her head. I mean, she couldn't even hardly comb it over because it was so short. She had her hair so short. I don't think she's... Of course, that says something about people's spirits. That's something we've learned. You know, if you take a man who just grows his hair long, he's generally got some rebellion in him. You know, there's either one or two things. If a man just lets his hair grow because he's more unkept, he's just a slothful person. He can't, you know, be an example. He can't live right and do what he ought to do and be someone that's an example. He's just lazy and slothful. He can't realize. It's like somebody just let your car just get filthy, dirty, and drive it around full of bottles and bottle caps and filthy dirt, and you never do wash it or vacuum it out. Well, there's, you know, a person that don't keep anything any better than that is lacking somewhere. There's something wrong in their responsible side of being responsible and realizing there ought to be some authority in my life. There ought to be some discipline in my life. You find them like that, you'll find their houses that way. Their car's that way. Their clothes are that way. You watch them walk around in wrinkled up clothes. Ought to have them ironed or cleaned or sent to a cleaner's. You know, it's the same way with, you know, men, how they keep themselves. A man let his hair grow so long, it's hanging out over his ears. He's not very well kept. He can't, you know, he's just lacking. He's too lazy to go to the barber shop, get his hair cut. And you can't be an example in things like that. There's things that we do that makes examples out of us. I was telling people in Bible study today, we were talking, and you know, I said, people that are on the staff that are faithful in here come to this Bible study because it's what we do. People that don't do it are making a statement. They're telling everybody else it ain't necessary. New people come into church, they're saying, you don't have to do that. It's not necessary. Before long, they won't be coming to Sunday night service. They won't be doing other things. That doesn't mean everybody in the church has the same responsibility, but you have to grow in responsibility in here. But once you meet up to a place of responsibility, you shouldn't let down. You shouldn't turn backward and realize there's people watching your life. And there's people that's following your example. And so there's things that causes us to do the things we do that because we're servants of God and God's people. We're living examples. We're epistles read and known of all men. So these scriptures here, Paul's using hair as an example to explain his position on authority. He's showing how that you can have authority over your life. You can have men of God that can help you, counsel you, and help you see where you need to get the right balance and the righteousness of God's Word working in your life, helping you to bring your flesh into a place of ordinance or restraint so that you're not letting too much of the world work in your life. And so here where it says it's shame for woman to have short hair. Somebody said, how come our women put their hair up on their head? We don't have not one scripture for that. But the thing about it is, we did start preaching that back there. Because, you know, how do y'all think Sister Crow would look if she had her hair all hanging down straight? You know, it's just not becoming of an older woman if she's got real, you know. Here's what I've learned. My hair's turned white now. Let me tell you something about gray hair. Anybody that's got gray hair will tell you this. It's less controllable than your hair when it has color. There's something you're lost out of your hair, and it sticks out. It's more wiry. It's less controllable. And so the older you get, if you've got long hair like a woman, it's easy just to cut it off. That's what some... And we're living in a microwave age, popcorn age. You know, we're just... Everything's fast, quick, and easy. But some things you can take the quick and easy, and it'll bring defilement with it. It'll put you in the wrong balance. See, one thing, a woman can wear her hair real short, real, real short. It's easy to take care of, but it's keeping her from maintaining that femininity. When a woman has to take care of it, roll it, fix it, it's her glory, the Bible says. And let me just tell you, women, whether you believe it or not, men love beautiful hair on women. It's feminine. It's feminine. And so, but it ain't feminine on men. You let a man get real long hair, it kind of looks goofy. Kind of looks, you know, man, it's hard for a man to do real physical labor on the job, and he's always having to get the hair back out of his eyes and out of his face and put it back in a ponytail or do something with it. Then if he's got his back to you, you know, you have to look two or three times. Is that a man or a woman? What is that? What kind of person is this? Are y'all listening to me? Are you surfing the web? Would you put your phones up just long enough to be in church? Because what I'm saying, you may not like it, but it's Bible. It's something has to do with the Word. And I'm trying to help you some to understand how we came to the certain balance. I've relaxed. I used to. Years ago, 30 years ago, my wife will tell you, I taught, don't cut your hair, not even the dead ends off of it. Just let them grow. But Sister Leninger's hair was so long, she had such terrible headaches that she complained and told Brother Leninger, she just suffered with headaches. You know, Brother Leninger prayed about that, and he felt like God told him, let that woman cut some of her hair off. That's what's causing her headaches. And he had her cut her hair about halfway down her back because it was plumb down below her bottom. And she cut her hair and her headaches went away. And Brother Leninger got a lesson out of that. He changed the way he taught on that. And most men in the body don't teach it. You know, used to, back then, women, how many of y'all remember all the Pentecostal hairdos? You go get them all ratted and put them all up a certain way and get a bun in the back and all that done. Still, we got women that do that today, and I'm not against it, but most of them will tell you it ruins their hair. It's hard on their hair. Their hair breaks off, and you do it for years and years and years, and it's not healthy on your hair necessarily. So we've had to learn to make adjustments, but we tried to obey God when we thought, you know, here's where I used to teach it. I used to say, hey, I want to come under Jesus' full authority. I don't want to cut none of it off. Well, I realized this is a picture. God's trying to let us see a picture. He's just saying you need to have enough authority over you to be covered. Not that you got to be covered up. There can't be none of you anywhere to be seen. But you need to come under enough authority that shows you're humble before God and you're in submission to the order of God. And that, you know, there's exceptions. Sure, I mean, I've had women under my ministry that couldn't grow long. I've had women that had sicknesses that, you know, they, you know, if you take chemotherapy, you'll have to lose all your hair. Well, you know, I've had women 20 years old that turned gray. They had a biological problem. I told them, die. You don't have to walk around and look like you're 60 years old when you're 25. Go ahead and color your hair. It's all right. But, you know, I said, be careful. The rest of you women, be careful about trying to make yourself into something you're not. Don't let the world get so much a hold of you that you're not happy with who you are. Be, you know, be content with what God made you, how He made you. Be happy with you. You can be content. You ought to be happy with who you are. You're alive. You can be God's child. He loved you enough to give you life. So be content in what God's gave you. I'll tell you something I've learned. Some of you young ones won't know this, but you'll know it when you get my age. Some of the ugly kids in school, when I was in school with them, they turned out pretty when they got older, and some of the pretty ones turned out ugly when they got older. It'll come around to you. Just be patient. And let me tell you another thing. Pretty can be ugly. If it's just skin deep. Some of the prettiest people I've ever met in my life wasn't handsome or beautiful. But they had the most beautiful spirit. They had such a wonderful personality. You couldn't help but love them. You couldn't help but appreciate almost everything about them. But as far as just to look at their physical, you know, Jesus, the Bible said Jesus, He wasn't pleasant to look on. He probably wasn't a handsome man. God probably didn't give Him that to, you know, so people would be drawn to Him because of His physique or because of how handsome He was. Let me tell you something. You can have a spirit that overshadows all of that. You can have a spirit. I dated a girl before Sister Smith that, you know, I was attracted to her, but it didn't take me very long to realize this girl ain't pretty. She's got a rotten spirit. I could never live with a woman like this. It didn't take me too long to come to that realization. And so, there's a whole lot more to life than pretty or handsome. It's who you are. It's not what you are or what you look like. You know, I did have a woman ask me one time, she said, does a woman have to be pretty for a man to look at her or care about her? I said, no, but it does help. You know, I mean, you could fix yourself up. You could do the best you could do to be have a little pretty side. But if you can't get the pretty on the outside, at least get it on the inside. That helps more. And I think women today in the body of Christ that have the revelation that, you know, I don't think God wants me to wear my hair like a man. I don't think that's becoming a woman. I need to be feminine. My hair needs to be, it needs to have some length to it. I see that Paul used that example in the scriptures. And therefore, I want to look like a woman. And then when I get older, it's, you know, it's not as easy for an older woman just to let her hair down. It's not as flowing. It don't have as much thickness to it and much body in it, and so it's easier for them to put it up. I think that's why most of them put it up. But I don't require that every woman have to put her hair up on her head. One of our teachings used to be was, as long as you're not married, you can wear your hair down. Once you get married, you get your hair up, you know, because that ain't your glory, ain't for every other man to see after you get married. Well, that wasn't such a bad teaching, but it's not. There's not a scripture. You can't use that. You just have to use it as an ordinance of the ministry. For the church, we've tried to find ways to please God in here without being overboard and find the right balance to it. I just think you need to be moderate. You need to look like a woman. You need to act like a woman, but it needs to be a godly woman. You need to be godly and holy and sanctified. Live a life that is an example to the other younger women. Same way with men. Be an example. Live the right kind of life. Be an example. Be a leader. Try to lead out. Get it in your spirit. And like I said, there are examples. If you take the African race, the black people, their hair is different than white, the white people. So we never did put that stipulation, because if their hair just grows, it ain't, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I don't think you can just grow it and it just be long, you know, like straight, if it's just straight or wavy. They'd have to straighten it to get it long enough to make it look like a Caucasian person's hair. So you can't make the same rule for everybody, but somebody's got to do, you know. I mean, we are, there's Joseph's coat of many colors here. We've got to, like Brother Talley said, there's, not only is there people in here on kindergarten level all the way up to college level, there's every kind of culture in the body of Christ. We've got to take all that into consideration. And so you can't put the same stipulation on everybody. But, it's, you know, if you're of a different culture and your physical makeup's different, then you have to work with what God gives you. And so that's to be understood. So, anyway, I hope I'm making some sense in what I'm saying. I don't, you know, I may have took the whole day on it, but we're in a house, the class here today is familiar. I'm not dealing with saints, you know, that's never been here before, and they're new, and this would be, you know, really strange to their ears, but they know something about this body of people, and I'm just trying to help you understand how that this ministry, I don't fault this ministry. I know this is a called brotherhood that God called to restore the church. And the Lord's let us go through these many, many different experiences and practical lessons, and He's let us do some things that was overboard, out of balance, some things that was even wrong. That's how we learned it was wrong. We done it long enough, we said, this here don't work. This don't work. We need to make some adjustments on this. And so God's helped us. I think we've got a better operation than we've ever had right now. And I think there's something coming. The meeting in Houston, it was rich. And I was glad to hear the report that the Spirit down in Cisco had that Spirit lingering. And now down in Springville in the youth meeting. You know, I've been considering, I have had a thought to cancel our youth meeting this year. I'm almost afraid to cancel it now. I'm wondering, you know, God's doing something, and I'm a little worried about, I do want to give y'all some time off. I am going to cancel a year in the near future, because I just don't want y'all to have to host a meeting every year, a big meeting like that. I think once in a while you deserve a year off. But right now I'm just not decided that we should do that. I wish you'd just pray if God wanted us to do it, or if He doesn't, that He would give us the right feeling about it, because I don't want to miss God on that. And it seems like God's, you know, making a turn, and looks like we're coming back into more exciting times. We go through seasons in this body. This is not anything new. If you go back in the history of this, you'll know. And it's the same way in a church. You go through certain seasons. And the Lord lets us go through dry places or difficult times. See how church can hold up through difficulty and trials and trouble. God knows this church has been through plenty of that. But the Lord allowed it. And here's the thing. You're still here. Thank God for that. You're still here. Now, let's shun those that aren't still here. Let's just believe and have faith that God's going to help them someday to get back in here and get them reconnected. They're God's children. But let me warn you, don't take it upon yourself unless God really deals with you to reach out here and touch somebody that's got the wrong spirit, that's workers of iniquity, and they're against this church or against this ministry. Don't be trying to win them people back in here until God starts dealing with them, or you may bring a lot of trouble into this church. And if you don't like that, it's just too bad. I'm the one that I know what I'm talking about right now, and I know that there's people that could come back in here and create more trouble than we need in this church. They need to have the right spirit. Some people need to humble down to come back in here. Some people are so arrogant and have got such a rotten spirit that they think, you know, that they're against me. Don't even know me. They left here not even knowing who I was. And they left Brother Weiniger. And, you know, they just, for whatever reason, they weren't able to stick with it. But it still doesn't give a right for people to have a spirit to tear down, tear up, and try to work against the order of God. We're in here trying to do the will of God, trying to work with the brotherhood, trying to stay in order with this body and this ministry. And we don't need people in here that's trying to tear that down. We don't, you know, I want them all to come back, but I want them to come back in the right spirit. I don't feel like I'm real hard about that. I think I'm patient. Pretty patient with people. I don't think I do everything right. I've made mistakes. I've made mistakes since I've been here. I'm sorry for it. I look back, see, I wish I could have done that over. I overdid that. But, you know, I think God will move me out of the way if I disqualify. I think God allows men to make mistakes, men who aren't perfect, that are trying to do their best. And I want you to know I appreciate the people that stays with us even in our mistake making. You know, I've told people that's come and worked on me against their pastor. I said, why don't you try it? You want God to make you the pastor of that church? You think you could do a better job than they're doing? You think day in and day out, 365 days a year, you could do better, do you? Some women think that. They think they could do a better job than what God's got the pastor doing. Because they run their mouth against him almost continually. They just got that kind of spirit because they think they really believe that. Well, I'm just here to tell you, God knows how to correct these things if we really would trust him. That's what I'm trying to do. I know in my spirit there's men in the body that are leaders that I'm not fully compatible with, but I'm trying my best to recognize God put those men where they're at, and I better honor that. I go to cutting off the skirt, the hem of the garment of the leader that God's put over us, I'm going to get in trouble with God. And I've learned that lesson. And every man that God's put in the leader seat, I've done my best to try to honor that and not try to tear that man down or, you know, because God put him there. God, if he sets up kings and tears them down, but you don't think he sets up pastors and tears them down? You don't think God can move a man out of his place if he's doing the people of God so wrong? I'm here to tell you, you're mistaken if you believe that. He loves this body. This is his body. He's in charge. He's the head of this. We're trying more than anybody I know to make him the head of it. So, anyway, I'm just, you know, y'all know I'm not a guy that gets up here and works like this on things on a regular basis. I just don't do that. Sometimes I just feel God enough that I feel like I have to obey. And some things have to be corrected. Some things have to be dealt with a little bit. But I really got up here today just to answer some questions and just to try to give some understanding on some things about what we've been through, what we've gone through, and what God's worked in us, and where we're at today. I still want to go. I still believe we're in a wonderful place. I love this ministry because I think they sincerely want God to have His way with His people and help us. Amen. All right, it's time for us to go to dinner. We having band practice today? No band practice today. All right. So, service at 4 o'clock. Brother and Sister Coles are supposed to be here. And we have plans to have a little snack and fellowship after church around 6:15. I told the women to have ready. So we'll have service again at 4. And then let's see what the Lord will do tonight. And if He'll come in and maybe water us down a little bit and help us, it'll give us a little better feeling maybe than we've got right now. So anyway, you want to stand on your feet and just give God a praise, even if you have to say, "I praise you anyhow." Thank the Lord, God, for your goodness to us, your blessings, O Lamb of God. Touch us, O God, and help us, Lord. O Jesus, lead us, Lord, and help us in your goodness and your blessings, we pray. Amen, amen. All right. See you again tonight at 4 o'clock. See you.